So you just dial the code *844*555# on any network in the country. When you dial the code, you see four questions on your screen. And the first question is, are you experiencing unexplained fear and worry which interferes with your daily activities? And then you choose a yes or a no. After providing responses to the four questions, your phone number and then your responses, your yes or no responses, are safely transmitted to our electronic medical records database, which you created. So we receive your responses and then we call you back to actually screen you further and follow up on the responses that we've had.
This is Dr. Achu Dedelate, a young medical doctor from Ghana. In 2017, he launched a short code mobile helpline for mentally challenged people in Ghana. And in this clip, he explains how it works. Today, Dr. Achu's innovation has gone on to help so many people.
So there was a woman living in a village. She dialed the code on behalf of someone. So there was somebody actually in the village who was said to be using substances, to be abusing substances. And this person was at night shackled in a madhouse because he became quite aggressive at night. So this woman reached out to us and dialed the code on his behalf. So we spoke to her, she explained the situation to us, and then we got the community mental health nurses who were close to the person to actually go and see him. Long and short, they found him. He was shackled in the madhouse in a village in the northern part of the country. They were able to provide him some rehabilitation, wean him off the drugs.
On this episode of the Climb Podcast, I tell the incredible story of Dr. Achu and how a little project he started from his medical school dormitory has gone on to become one of the most consequential mental health care initiatives in Africa. Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
So my name is Dr. Achu Dedelate. I'm a medical doctor by profession, and I'm also a policy and financing specialist. I recently gained a master's degree in health policy, planning and financing. I also consider myself a self-starter and someone who is keen on improving the lives of the vulnerable in Africa, particularly in the field of healthcare. I'm also the CEO and founder of Mind is Ghana, which is a toll-free mental health service, a telemedicine program in Ghana, which is housed within a facility that comprises the call center and then a budding research unit and then an innovation hub as well. So yes, that's just the cracks about me. That's just a bit about me.
Dr. Achu Dedelate is a young medical doctor from the West African country of Ghana. He is the chief executive officer of Mind It Ghana, a mental health initiative that leverages mobile phones and other innovative tools to provide free mental health support to people across Ghana. Dr. Achu tells me that it was a combination of his love for science and his love for helping others that made him want to be a doctor.
I grew up, I loved science when I was very young. I had a knack for science. I loved to know about how things worked. And then I found the human body to be quite fascinating as well. So my interest in knowing how things worked, and then coupled with the interest in science, I believe, culminated in my desire to be a medical doctor. I loved debates when I was in junior high school, and this was some transition from primary school to junior high school. And then I also began participating in some clubs as well, clubs which were contributing or giving back to society. So we embark on donations, cleaning campaigns in the school and in the community. And that's how my love for community development actually began.
Dr. Achu carried forward his love for community development into the university, where he was confronted with one of the biggest but least spoken about challenges facing communities across Africa: mental health.
Mental health was, or psychiatry was, the first specialty I got introduced to when I entered medical school. I was with the Schools Debating Society at the University of Ghana Medical School. And then we had this annual competition in which we were tasked to propose some solutions to common mental health problems in the country and then debate about it. So I got into medical school, and then one of the first specialties I got introduced to was psychiatry. So I used to play a lead role in the debating team. So I used to lead many of the projects, many of the debate activities, many of the brainstorm sessions. And that's how I got some insights into the mental health system of Ghana and West Africa as well. And on the back of these, my interest in doing something to improve mental health care began. So I had this keen interest to do something to improve mental health care as best I could. Now, on the back of these, I found myself in fifth year of medical school. Prior to me starting MINDIT, I had embarked on a psychiatry exchange program in New York University, where I saw how mental health care was being done in a high risk setting. So I came back to Ghana, and based on my experiences, I wanted to do something to improve mental health care in the country. And then I had the perfect experience that actually sparked MINDIT. I came back to Ghana, and at the time, I was a columnist in one of Ghana's newspapers as well. And it was also sometime in 2017, it was World Health Day, and then the theme for World Health Day celebrations was on depression. So I featured an article on depression in my newspaper column on how to provide support for people suffering with depression. My details were published, and then a woman in some parts of Ghana read the newspaper, and she identified herself as experiencing all the things I stated. So she reached out to me for help, saying that she identified that she was experiencing all the things I stated, and she desperately needed help. I was just a medical student. I tried to get her help where she was. She was very far from me. I was in the capital city. She was in the second largest city, that was Kumasi. I reached out to people I knew who were in her region to try to get her help. The long and short of it was that eventually she was not able to get the help because the help that we found for her was inaccessible, and in the sense that the hospital was quite far from where she lived, and the help was also unaffordable in the sense that the amount of fees that were being charged at the hospital we found for her were exorbitant. So these experiences gave me some insights into the mental health situation, and I realized that her situation was not a singular one. Many people like her were actually experiencing the same thing. The problems of inaccessibility and unaffordability of mental health care in the country, coupled with the fact that many people are not aware that whatever they're experiencing is a mental health problem. So based on all of these, I thought of a way to start something to solve all these problems. The problems of ignorance, affordability and accessibility of mental health care in the country. That's how MINDIT began.
Upon its launch in 2017, MINDIT Ghana became the first toll-free short code mental health support line in the country of Ghana. Dr. Achu tells me how the service works.
So we have a screening platform, which is a toll-free short code. It's basically a set of digits. So for example, our short code is *844*555#. So you can actually access the code on any kind of phone, a smartphone or a feature phone. You need no data and you need no airtime. So you just dial the code *844*555# on any network in the country. When you dial the code, you see four responses, you see four questions on your screen, and then you provide a yes or no response to any of the four questions. So when you dial the code, the first thing that comes on the screen is "Welcome to MINDIT Ghana. Kindly select a response that applies to you." And the first question is, are you experiencing unexplained fear and worry which interferes with your daily activities? And then you choose a yes or a no. So all these four questions appear on your phone screen like a text message after you dial the code. After providing responses to the four questions, your phone number and then your responses, your yes or no responses, are safely transmitted to our electronic medical records database, which we created, and it's also transmitted to our email, our protected email addresses, the company's, the organization's email address, and also the organization's phone number. So we receive your responses, and then we call you back to actually screen you further and follow up on the responses that we've had. And then we signpost you, we help clinch an affordable consultation, an accessible consultation, a consultation which is close to you at the nearest mental health units.
Starting such an innovative project was obviously a great challenge for a young medical student in the university. Thankfully, Dr. Achu had immense help and support from different people.
Thankfully, I had the support. I had the support of community. Community being the debate team within which I worked. Community being my friends and my mates in medical school and my family as well. The Department of Psychiatry was very instrumental in supporting us by giving us a CE donation and a mobile handset to start the program. So I had a lot of support. And then around that time, we had another psychiatry debate. So I used the debate as a conduit to actually launch Minded. At the point, the idea of using SO3 short code or USSD came to me when I was using a mobile money platform, what we call Momo, which is found in Nigeria, other parts of West Africa, and even which actually began in Kenya there, where you can actually transfer money over the phone wallet. So I was using one of those services one day, and I realized that this was actually a quasi questionnaire, because I realized that I dialed the code, I was trying to send money, and I realized that I was being asked questions. So I had an epiphany, and I was like, okay, what if I get a similar thing like this, on which I would onboard mental health questions and then float across the country for people to use. So I thought about it. I didn't know how to go about it. I knew nothing about coding. So this is me reaching out. So this was me reaching out to people, friends from high school, to come together to lend their expertise to actually start the program. So I spoke to my engineering friend, we were at the same high school, and we were in the same church at the time. And then he mentioned, this guy is actually very brilliant. He mentioned that it was something that he could code. So I was like, cool, we can get a short code, a USSD, put some mental health screening tools on board, and then leverage other factors or other supports to actually run this. I got my brother on board for publicity, to do some publicity campaigns. I got one of my friends on board as well. He's skilled in project management. We got a clinical psychologist on board to start with us. I got my friends, my colleagues in the school's debate team to actually support us well. I got a lot of my medical school friends to actually serve as the first call center operatives for the service, where we're going to reach out to the people pro bono. So we were latching on already the existing structures in the country to actually do this. Now, we realized that to solve the problem of affordability, we had to leverage an already existing social program in the country, was the community mental health program, where nurses and physician assistants were provided training to provide mental health support to people. Now, this community mental health units in the country are quite ubiquitous. So we worked with this community mental health units where we screened people with a short code, get their responses, and then refer them or signpost them to this community mental health unit. It was extremely challenging juggling this in medical school. I remember I was studying for one of my final exams, and in medical school, when it's time for final exams, everybody just goes into their shell to study hard because the exams are quite tough. So I would study, and then in the evenings, I would come out to make a lot, about 3 hours of my time, to actually make the course and reach out to people. So based on an iterative process, we learned our mistakes, and then we began Minded. So basically, when we started Minded, it was just my phone and then the toll-free short code with the questions on board. I will receive their responses, and then I'll call the people who use the code from all over the country, talk to them, and then try to signpost them to where they could get care from. And yes, it was quite interesting, very interesting.
Since 2017, Minded Ghana has continued to impact the lives of mentally challenged people across Ghana. Dr. Achu tells me he was surprised at how well people received the initiative and the massive impact it has made in such a short time.
It was well received to a very large extent, and the results have been phenomenal. At the time when I created it, the country didn't have an entirely toll-free mental health helpline. I think there was just a mental health helpline which was partially toll-free, selectively toll-free to just one telecommunication network. So having a help plan which was entirely Tofu was actually a godsend. And it was received widely. We had people from all parts of the country dialing the code. We've had very interesting, very impactful stories, very striking stories. The one which strikes me very much, I'm free to share it because it was published on television. It was publicized on television. One day we had a response to the short code. So there was a woman living in a village, and then she used the code. She dialed the code on behalf, get help on behalf of someone. So there was somebody actually in the village who was said to be using substances, to be abusing substances. And this person was at night shackled in a madhouse. Okay, because he became quite aggressive at night. So this woman reached out to us and dialed the code on his behalf. So we spoke to her. She explained the situation to us. And then we got the community mental health nurses who were close to the person to actually go and see him. Long and short, they found him. He was shackled in the mad house in a village in the northern part of the country. They were able to provide him some rehabilitation, wean him off the drugs. And in the end, they managed to get one of the district's government officials or the district government officers to give him some seed money to start a share nut farm. So this was one of the transformative stories that we had. In addition to that, we've had many stories, people who are on the verge of taking their lives, and then this comes as some form of relief or help or savior to them. A whole lot of stories. Even today, we had similar stories. We are able to get people who are acutely distressed and are able to call the community mental health nurses to dispatch some quick care to them. And these have been very, very impactful. So far, we've had over a bit about 6,100 people using the service. And we've been able to facilitate about a little over 1,800. Most of them are free, mostly free and affordable consultations for them. We had a wing which provides free psychotherapy services as well for people who can't afford them. The results have been very phenomenal, very impactful. It's been widely received mainly because of the fact that we openly listen to people, we listen to their concerns. It's not a face-to-face, endeavor. We don't see the people. They don't see us as well. We don't take their names. We only take their initials for most of the time. So these people are very free to provide us with some information to help them. And many of them feel very comfortable talking to us. This anonymous service has been a godsend to them. So it's been very interesting and very impactful, extremely impactful, very impactful so far. And something that we are very glad about.
Mental health is an important but largely overlooked problem in African society. Across the continent, over 116 million people are estimated to be living with mental difficulties. So unsurprisingly, Dr. Achu's innovation has earned him numerous awards and several features on international media and academic journals like the Harvard Review. I asked Dr. Achu how it felt being awarded and widely acknowledged for his work.
It does feel very surreal. I never thought I would leave medical school, even start my mind together. I never thought something I would start would actually come this far. This only shows the commitment of my team and all those who've supported me so far, the volunteers and every single person. I never looked forward to this day where we'll be featured by the BBC, we'll be talking at the World Bank. I never looked forward to such a day like this. It's I would say it came as a result of more or less the reward of the impactful work my team and I were doing and all the volunteers as well. It came naturally as a result of the passion that we had for mental health. We didn't set out to win accolades or to gain recognition. We just followed the path. We just stuck to what we had the intense desire to do, which we've been doing for the past 6 years pro bono. And these things are offshoots of what we did. And we are thankful. We are thankful for that. We are thankful that the good work we've been doing is being recognized. The good work we've been doing is being seen. And most importantly, people are being inspired to cause change as well by reading about the work we are doing, by seeing all that we are doing. And it's been a very humbling experience. But then I really never thought that I would get to a point where I would receive so much recognition in relatively a short period of time. So I never looked forward to this time. I never foresaw a time like this at all.
Going forward, Dr. Achu hopes that the stigma surrounding mental health in African communities can be eradicated. He also hopes that African governments can invest more in mental health care across the continent.
Mental health care is actually one of the most underserved healthcare areas in Africa due to a couple of reasons. There are historical reasons involved as well. In Ghana, the government has done a lot over the past couple of years as compared with, let's say, a decade ago. In as much as there's more to be done, a lot more to be done, they've been able to achieve quite substantial gains in the past few years. Currently, mental health care has been their calls to include mental health care into Ghana's National Health Insurance Scheme so that people can actually access subsidized mental health care by the government. Also, the government has been successful in repealing attempted suicides this year. Prior to that, non-fatal or attempted suicides were actually criminal in the country, and this mitigated against care. The problems of the lack of much support for mental health care in Africa is mainly due to many historical reasons and many social cultural reasons as well. There's so much stigma about mental health in the country and on the continent. There's so much stigma, and much of this stigma is actually shrouded in a lot of cultural beliefs. And so we try as much as possible to dispel many of this unhealthy cultural beliefs would actually have a long way to go in improving mental health care and on the continent. Education has been, the rate of education has been increasing so far on the continent, and this has been very much useful in helping promote mental health care as well. The onus lies on African governments and the Ghanaian government to actually create the will to promotes mental health care. Because most mental health disorders can't be seen, many people don't consider them to be quite major until some unfortunate event happens. And also, people are of the notion that people who have mental health disorders are in some form of irredeemable condition. So these people cannot be redeemed, these people cannot be brought back to some healthy, clean states of a clean state again. So the governments have the role in creating a strong political will to say that we are going to commit this and this and that to actually promote mental health care in our respective countries. In Ghana, there's only a measly 1.5% of the country's health budget which is allocated to mental health. Other health conditions take a chunk of the budget. So governments have to improve their political will. The government has the driving force to actually drive the agenda. When the government drives the agenda to improve mental health care, the population will follow suit. So the governments really have a long way to go. Many efforts have been made so far, but then more to be done. There's really more to be done on the continent.
6 years ago, in his dormitory at the University of Ghana, Dr. Achu Dedelate launched a mental health initiative he never thought would go anywhere. But today, it has impacted thousands of lives and earned him numerous awards across the world. What could be more inspiring? So as we concluded our interview, I asked Dr. Latte what he would say to other young people who, just like him, have an idea to change the world, but do not know how to go about achieving it.
So, first of all, ideas don't come fully formed. You only see the idea develop when you start working on it. I didn't see mine developing to this extent when I began. But then once I began working on it, I saw inroads. I saw what else could be done? So most ideas don't come fully formed. Many people are waiting for the perfect time. There's really no perfect time. Until you start walking on the path, you'll be unable to see what's ahead of the path. You can only see what's ahead when you start walking the path. You always have to take the very first step. Don't be scared to make mistakes. I started this from my dormitory room. Never be scared to make mistakes. What you have currently is enough to actually start something. Fortune favors the bold. Just start. And once you start, commit yourself to studying on the job. That's commit yourself to studying what you're working around. Commit yourself to improving yourself. Commit yourself to challenges. Mistakes will come. Make mistakes. Don't beat yourself. Learn from the mistakes, circle back, and just keep going. And also, there's some big power or some untapped power in collaborations. Collaborate with people. You find many Africans with so much skill, so much knowledge, so much energy, so much power. And these skills can only be magnified when we collaborate with one another. Collaborate with people. Collaboration actually magnifies our skills and it magnifies our impacts. Just start something. Start. Starting also builds courage. To attempt very big things, you'd have to start small. I think I had the guts or the courage to start something in my dormitory room because I had smaller victories. I'll call them smaller victories prior to that. Smaller victories which made me become more confident. I had some preceding victories of being a newspaper columnist in one of in Ghana's largest lifestyle newspaper. I walked up to them and said I wanted to be a columnist with them. And based on these little successes, I had the courage to actually attempt bigger things. So start small. Start small. Believe in yourself. Collaborate with people. Take the first step on the path. Until you take that very first step, you wouldn't see what's ahead of you. And everybody makes mistakes. So don't beat yourself when you make mistakes. And yes, you'll be successful. Luck will shine on you and you'll be very successful.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Jewel Atedo-Bright. Special thanks to Dr. Achu Dedelate for allowing us to tell his story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Firoz Larji Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.